Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net. Christopher Media, let's make some noise. Welcome to Beer Nuts, a weekly excursion into the world of craft beer, brought to you by MichiganBeerGuide.com. And now, here are the Beer Nuts.
All right. Happy holidays. Merry whatever. My name is Chris. Beer Nuts. We'll get the theme going here in a minute. JR from MichiganBeerGuide.com.
Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate. Happy holidays to you and your families, everyone.
Uncle Pete.
Merry Christmas, Merry holidays.
There you go. Dugout.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Dugout must have been celebrating with his dugout, but Uncle Pete and I have been celebrating with our Death by Coconut by Oscar Blues Brewing.
Yeah, there may be some Christmas trees going on around here. I don't know. It's crazy.
Just to be transparent to everyone, we do things kind of in a random order, and we taped another podcast episode earlier than this, so this is our second one of the night, even though you will be hearing it before the other one. And, we don't hide anything from anybody.
But yeah, we record things all out of order.
So Uncle Pete and I are recording from a different location than Dugout and Chris. And Dugout and Chris were dugouting while we were sampling a Death by Coconut.
Dugouting.
Downriver with
it's a verb.
And the Death by Coconut is phenomenal. Action sorry you guys verb. Missed it, but I'm sure you had your own fun.
I think they broke a fresh tip off the end of that Christmas tree and, tested its flammability.
It's possible. Things happen.
You don't want your Christmas tree to get too dry or it might go up in flames.
It's crazy.
Yeah. No one likes when it goes dry in that world. Okay, everybody. We're going to kick off our holiday edition of Beer Nuts. And we're going to kick it off with a really great, fantastic beer, Sierra Nevada Celebration. So if you cue up the music, Crispy. And our beer quote of the week, I'm going to give the Lord's Prayer for Beer Geeks. Our lager, which art in barrels, hallowed be thy drink. I will be drunk, I will be drunk, at home as it is in the pub. Give us this day our foamy head, and forgive us our spillages, as we forgive those who spill against us. And lead us not to incarceration, but deliver us from hangovers. For thine is the beer, the bitter, the lager. Forever and ever,
barman.
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 I love it. I had to get down on my knees. I had to genuflect for that one.
I can tell you we're all feeling festive because we did do another episode earlier.
Is that we're going with the holidays? Festive.
After all.
And we are feeling very festive, and this is going to be a great episode of Beer Nuts. Our beer style of the week this week is going to be holiday beers and winter warmers. Now, when the weather turns cold, and it's not cold, at the time of our taping, it's like, 65 degrees.
It's crazy. We had a weekend December in Michigan, 60 degrees.
60 degrees. Yeah.
We took the convertible out the other day.
So you all be hearing us in just a few days anyway. But when the weather turns cold, it's time to seek out the king of all seasonal beers, winter ales. Brewed stronger, richer, and more full-bodied, these beers taste great alongside a roaring fire or when hoisting the holiday cheer with friends. This might be our first episode with no Michigan beers. We had Bell's Christmas Ale included, but I took them out when it was pointed out to me that Bell's Christmas Ale is really just a Scotch Ale. Not a knock on Bell's. We love Bell's. We love Michigan beers. But we just thought, we broadcast to a broad audience. Not everybody's from Michigan. So today, this is for everybody. So we're going to start our night with a Sierra Nevada Celebration, and we're going to have Dugout introduce this beer.
Well, I'm glad you asked me to introduce this beer. It's a Sierra Nevada's Celebration Ale for 2015, listed as a fresh hop IPA, which I don't know if that is a recent switchover or if they've been doing that a couple years. I sort of lost touch with it. This beer is sort of a first for me in a couple ways. The first time I had it was in about 1992. It's been around a long time, and they've been doing it every year. Every year it variates a little bit. And the other first for me is I believe this was my first double IPA. So that being said, I'm thrilled that it's a fresh hop version because I love me some fresh hops. So, right off the nose, I got some fruity esters, a little bit of malt sweetness, and a little bit of... Yeah, just really a lot of fruitiness on this one. Appearance, it's sort of a copper gold color, very clear. Nice head on it. Wow. So, first sip right off the bat is hops and hops and more hops. And
after, I mean, that's what I smell is
after
hops.
After a few sips, then you finally start to figure out there's some pretty heavy sweet malt in here. Wow, what an incredible beer.
Oh, well, I see what you're saying about the first sip.
Yeah, it's a hop.
Takes some adjusting.
A hop slap to your forehead.
I mean, this beer's been around for 34 years.
Yeah, amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's intense. I mean, not intense in the flavor, but intense on the aroma. And it delivers on the flavors that I'm smelling.
And you never really think of like a big double IPA as a Christmas beer, you know?
It's a home run. I actually asked Dugout to introduce this because I think he's probably the biggest hop head of the group here. And this is right up his alley, man. I'm going to read from Sierra Nevada's website, Celebration Ale. Festive, fresh hop holiday fun. The start of celebration season is a festive event. We can't start brewing until the first fresh hops have arrived. But once they have, the season is officially underway. First brewed in 1981, Celebration Ale is one of the earliest examples of an American-style IPA and one of the few hop-forward holiday beers. Famous for its intense citrus and pine aromas, Celebration is bold and intense, featuring Cascade, Centennial, and Chinook hops, honoring everything we have at Sierra Nevada. And there's no question about it. This is a hop bomb, and it's something to celebrate. That's how we celebrate the season, with Celebration, Sierra Nevada.
Home run.
And you know what? We're going to taste some other holiday beers, and none of them are going to be like this. We selected a portfolio of beers tonight that'll be all over the board because, you know, everybody celebrates differently.
Well, I tell you, I think the influence of the piney resinous, character of the hops coming through in this, that gives me that holiday, you know, effect. I lived out in Sierra Nevada for quite a number of years, and if I was out strapping on my backcountry skis and walking out into the wilderness through the deep snow, I definitely want to have a couple of these in my backpack so I could stop and take a nice break and enjoy the beauty.
Amen. It's a fantastic beer. Sierra Nevada continues to blaze trails for the craft beer industry.
I mean, did they spice this thing up with anything? What else is in there? Because it's definitely hop forward, but there must be some other stuff in there that's coming through.
I think it's just the hop schedule that they use on this beer.
I'm going to give you just some information from the website. As you guys know, I love to read labels and websites, and that's the marketing guy in me. But overview, alcohol content is 6.8% by volume. Bitterness units, IBU 65. Ale yeast. Bittering hops, Chinook and Centennial. Finishing hops, Cascade and Centennial. Malts, two-roll pale and caramel malt. Food pairing, fish and chips, roasted turkey and dressing, polenta and grilled vegetables, and cheeses, Parmigiano Reggiano and Manchego. The only other thing I have on here is wet hop versus fresh hop, and this is a fresh hop beer. So listen carefully. Over recent years, there has been some confusion about the difference between fresh and wet hops. While it may seem like semantics, to us it's an important distinction. Wet hops are undried hops picked and shipped from the growing fields within 24 hours. Fresh hops are the freshest dried hops to come from the fields, typically within 7 days of harvest. Over 90% of the world's hop harvest happens between August 31st and October 31st, and these hops are used throughout the calendar year. Can hops possibly be the same on November 1st, one day after harvest, as they are on July 25th, nearly 1 year after growing in the fields?
No.
The answer is no. We think of hops like dry kitchen spices. The flavor of thyme and rosemary right after the jar is opened is far more intense than it is 6 months later. The same can be said for hops. There are ways to control the way hops age and to reformulate and readjust as some of the aromas fade. There's nothing like the magic of the first bales of hops as fresh as could be. That is the stuff dreams are made of. And there you have it. Sierra Nevada Celebration.
Nice.
Other comments, Chris?
Hops. That is my comment.
And that's what it is. It's a fresh IPA.
I'll make a bonfire at the first snow flies here, and you guys can come over, and I'll supply the Sierra Nevada celebration. How about that?
I'm going to tell you, the color on this is just phenomenal. It's like red. I love the appearance. I love the aroma. I love the flavor.
So, just so you know, the bottle is gone, and I've finished my glass.
See? I told you.
I just grabbed your bottle here. If you can get it. It's great.
I already refilled once.
Wow. Just wow. Good stuff. So, any other comments before we go to our next brew? It's really going to be hard to go off of this one. It was so good.
Yeah, just final comment, amazing beer. If you see it, get it. Don't cellar it, because the hops will fall off. I mean, it still will be drinkable, but
this time to
buy it and drink it is right now.
I can't remember having a beer that looks so good. It's got that red flavor, the red hue to it.
It wants to be drank. I've got a new boss at work. I was so happy to find out one of the first things about him. He loves craft beer. I mean, this is great. And so he tells me, yeah, if I'm going out to dinner, you know, at this certain location. And I knew that location, and I checked my beer app, and I know what's on tap down there at this restaurant. And what was freshly tapped that day was Sierra Nevada Celebration. So I recommended to him, they just tapped Sierra Nevada Celebration. You got to have that. And, of course, he had it later that night, and he had all good things to say about it. So I must be doing something good, and it's just bonus points for me.
Amen. All right, any final comments before we move? I almost hate to move to the next.
Isn't it barman?
The show must go on, right?
Show must go on, yep.
Barman.
What's up next here, guys? Something from the middle of America?
Ooh, Great Lakes.
I personally love this beer. When I first moved from Las Vegas to Michigan, I discovered Great Lakes. The first beer I had with them was Edmund Fitzgerald Porter, which is phenomenal. And then I was told how good their Christmas ale was. So I kept an open mind and I tried it, and I've been a fan ever since. So I'm going to rinse my glass out with water, because that hoppy beer is nothing like this. So bear with me while we hear some Christmas music, which is totally appropriate. And thank you, Uncle Pete. He has just poured me a sample of this Great Lakes Christmas Ale.
I'm your bartender.
As we talk about Christmas Ale, I want to just talk about the general American winter beer style of Christmas Ale. American winter beers are usually called Christmas or holiday beers and are almost always spiced. American Christmas beers can be based on a variety of styles, but are often an amber or darker colored malt-focused beer. Spices that are associated with Christmas cookies, potpourri, and mulled ciders are common. Cinnamon, nutmeg, allspice, ginger, clove, orange peel, and others. Additional fermentables such as molasses, honey, dark candy sugar, treacle, and Lyle's Golden Syrup are often used to add another flavor dimension. Treacle. Anchor Christmas Ale, which we'll taste later tonight, is a classic example. But it's unusual in that it uses a different recipe every year. Many examples have a flavor similar to gingerbread cookies. Spices should be noticeable, but very importantly, not overpowering. As a brewer, there's nothing I can't stand more than a Christmas beer that's just totally spices and it blows you away. I believe that Great Lakes Christmas Ale is one of those that does not over-spice it. It's a honey-based beer. And everybody take a sip. Let's taste it.
Wow.
Honestly, when I first moved here, I was not a fan of Christmas Ale. And this is one that I tasted that I really hated it. When we decided to do this show, it was one of the first beers on my list that I had to include.
I'll tell you, it's everything that you associate with Christmas comes to mind with tasting this.
And the spices are there, but they don't blow you away. It's not like a cinnamon bomb or a nutmeg bomb. It's just
subtle.
I think probably the biggest influence in the beer is I taste some honey. It's kind of sweet.
Yes. I'm picking up the cinnamon.
It's not overly sweet where it's cloying and it's like, oh, it's just candy-like. And
not at all.
Well, and it's pretty much a golden color, a little bit of copper tone to it. Very light-colored beer for what would be considered a Christmas ale. I mean, it looks to me to be lighter than the Celebration Ale was in color. Most times when you think of Christmas ales or Christmas beers, they're typically dark and big, heavy beers. I almost get like some crossover characteristics. I know this beer is called a Braggot that I'm thinking of, which is a combination of a mead and a beer put together. It really has similarities to that because this honey is front forward on this one. Definitely getting the sweetness off of it. Got a great head.
Doug, I would have never thought of that analogy. Great analogy of the Braggot. Because you're right. There's so much honey in this that it does remind you of a bee. This is the six-time medal winner since 1999. World Beer Championships, gold and silver medals. From their website, it says, do not open till Christmas. Whoever coined that phrase.
Obviously,
fresh honey, cinnamon, and ginger flavors. A Yuletide's worth of holiday spices, sweet honey to keep you wassailing all season. Okay, kind of lean marketing stuff, but you know what? It's a fantastic beer.
Yeah, I like it a lot. It's not overdone on the spices. You mentioned the word treacle, and I had to look that up. And treacle is really something that comes from the refining of sugar. It's an uncrystallized syrup, and in fact, black treacle is another word for molasses. So, I get the honey in this, but it's not a sweetness from the honey. It's just a honey syrupy kind of a flavor. And I really like this beer. It's balanced well. It's not overdone on any one of the spices. Good job.
My biggest turnoff with these holiday beers is beers that are overspiced, and this avoids that.
Yeah.
One other thing from their website that I really enjoy, they have lots of food and beer pairing type deals. There's one thing on here that I really... Two things. One is bacon-wrapped goat cheese stuffed dates. I'm going to click on that and just see what it
Yum.
Says. 12 Whoa. To 18 dates pitted. One 12-ounce bottle Great Lakes Christmas Ale. Strips of bacon cut in half. 4 to 6 ounces mild goat cheese. A tablespoon of local honey and a tablespoon of fresh cinnamon. In an airtight container, soak pitted dates in Christmas ale overnight or for a few years in the refrigerator. A few hours in the refrigerator.
A few years.
With a hand mixer, blend goat cheese, honey, and cinnamon. Remove dates from liquid and place a small amount of the goat cheese mixture in each. Wrap each date with a section of bacon and secure with a toothpick. Arrange dates on baking sheet, preheat oven to 450. Roast for 15-20 minutes until bacon is brown and crispy. You know what? This is something I gotta try. It's gonna happen.
Well, and to think it all comes out of Cleveland.
It's a decree.
You haven't had a date, had a date in a while, JR?
I've
got to have a date.
So, get over to Cleveland and hit Great Lakes. You won't be sorry.
Here's another interesting, very briefly from their website, the Christmas Ale Highball.
Ooh.
2 ounces of bourbon whiskey, 1 ounce Great Lakes Christmas Ale, 1 dash orange bitters, 1 splash cola. In a rocks glass, combine bourbon whiskey and Christmas ale over ice. Add bitters and top off with cola. Wow. Garnished with a twist of orange peel.
Kicking it up a notch.
So there's a lot of other great recipes on GreatLakesBrewing.com. I'm a real big fan of this beer, and when we decided to do the Winter Warmers holiday episode, it had to be included. I generally will not buy more than one bottle of any Christmas ale. Great Lakes is the exception. I buy a 6-pack every year of this. It's a treasured addition to my holiday beer enjoyment. Anybody else have comments?
I get the ginger and the cinnamon on this. It's not overbearing, as I mentioned. There's not one that sticks out. But I got to tell you, a beer that puts clove in, and I'm not sure if this has clove. I don't get any. But if you're brewing and you're using clove, please. Please, please, don't use very much.
Dial it down.
Yes.
Exactly. I mean, if you think you've got the right amount, then cut it in half, and then cut it in half again and use that amount.
Exactly. I can tell you as a home brewer, I have drained for a 5-gallon batch that was overcloved. But this is a great balance. I love it. Good call, JR.
Very well. Any other final comments before we move to our next beer? All right, then I'm going to turn it over to Pete to introduce... the coveted, the one and only Anchor Christmas Ale. Uncle Pete?
Okay, Anchor Christmas Ale. Here we go. comes in a nice short squat bottle, like those old, didn't Miller used to come in these kind of bottles, kind of a short squatty kind of thing?
Yes, and they've come back.
Did they?
Right now, yes.
Oh, they're coming out now. Well, I just, you know, it's funny that you look at a shape of a bottle and you can remember something from the past. But this is a 2015, you know, Christmas ale, Ager Brewing. I've been out there in San Francisco. And let's just read a little about it here. Let's see. This is the 41st annual Our Special Ale from Ager Steam. And it's from early November to mid-January only. And this recipe for this ale is different every year. Oh, that's interesting. And so because this beer, the intent which we offer it remains the same, joy and celebration for the newness of life. Since ancient time, trees have symbolized the winter solstice, when the earth, with its seasons, appears born anew. So they do on the label have you know, a large tree displayed here. It's very festive looking, Christmas tree looking kind of a label. New Year says on it, Merry Christmas. So very appropriate for this episode tonight. So I'm going to pour it. Oh boy, is it dark. Man, compared to what we had tonight. Look at that. Ooh. We're doing the Anchor Christmas Ale JR. So let me give it a smell. So nice. I'm getting some chocolate hints on the nose. Very smooth, creamy chocolate on the nose picking up. The color is very dark, almost can't see through it. Hold it up to the light, very fair, pretty light comes through. And the darkness shouldn't fool you, because when you taste it, it's got a very nice malt backbone. Mm. Wow. It's a very satisfying, kind of a bready, roasted, much more roasted than what we've had so far. Since the, you know, the darkness, there must be some roasted malts in there. They're very satisfying. I think this is one that, you know, it's kind of like the meal in a bottle, a loaf of bread in a bottle. I'm not picking up a lot of spices per se, but I am pleasantly pleased with the satiation I'm getting from this one. It, you know, it's one of those, you know, if you had an appetite, this is going to quench your appetite. Chris, what about you? You taste it yet?
No. It's in the glass. Okay. I notice it. It's dark. It's one of those that falls into the glass. So this is probably going to be right out my alley.
Good, good. Oh, let's go to dugout. We'll come back.
Well,
what do you think?
Yeah, again, falls into the glass. It's a beautiful head on this beer.
Yes.
And very dark aromas. I get some sort of a bit of earthiness and. Or dark fruit on the aroma. And the, oh boy. Wow. It's there's definitely dark fruit on this one. And you mentioned clove, and this beer has clove in it, that's for sure.
Yeah, I get that on the finish.
And they've used it every year. I mean, I have been drinking this beer for a very long time, so I've got a few years under my belt of all the vintages, and I think this is one beer that I have had every year, probably since the 90s. They do switch it up, but there's still always these same underlying sameness about it, that it's going to have some clove in it. It's going to be like kind of chewy and have that, those sort of tart, sweet, dry fruit components to it. I think it's just an amazing beer, and year after year, I've never had one that I've ever been disappointed in. And I've got a great story about this particular beer, because it does age well, and I have proof positive. But also, to go along with the story, this is one of the few beers that's actually released in a magnum bottle. And I highly encourage, if you know, you like this beer, to pick up one of those magnums. Those are a beautiful pour. I think sometimes it's maybe sort of the first that goes down the bottling line.
So make sure you had some
sort of the best of the pours. I think great beer, phenomenal.
So, well, you guys know I always like to read from the website, and this is really cool because it says Brew Facts on the Anchor Brewing website. First brew, 1975. First bottling, 1975. Alcohol by volume varies. Availability, November through February. Malt, top secret. Hops, top secret. Dry hops, top secret. Every year, this beer is a little bit different. But as Dugout said, it's also a little bit the same. And they're not going to just throw it out there. They're just going to keep doing what they do, making a great holiday beer every year. And I can remember back in the early 90s, actually the late 80s to early 90s, I worked for a wholesaler in Northern Virginia, Foreman Distributing Company, and we repped this beer, and how even back then, before the craft beer boom, how, you know, people were lining up for it, and, you know, oh, well, when that comes out, I got to make sure I get some. I can remember having a rep from another distributor who sold Sierra Nevada, and him and I would make kind of like a handshake deal every year that I'll get you a case of Anchor Christmas if you get me a case of Sierra Nevada Bigfoot.
There you go.
And it's kind of like...
That's a fair trade.
That's a good trade. That's
kind of really, it's kind of a little nostalgia going on. And,
I love it.
Hairs are raising on my neck thinking of those days when I can remember, you know, hey, I got a case of this in my trunk for you, and you got a case in your trunk for me. And that's just how we rolled back in those days. And, you know, now that's what everybody does. But back then, no one did that. I mean, there was no craft beers. Nobody waited in line, or there was no special beers. You know,
been crazy.
This is like, you know, we're talking 1989, 1990. Yeah. But you know what? And I can remember Morgan very well. Morgan was the rep's name, and we called on the same accounts, and he valued what I had, I valued what he had, and it was kind of a Christmas exchange every year. And
you got to give Anchor props. I mean, they're an old brewery. They've been around since 1896, so there's 120 years, right? Almost.
Yep.
And, you know, they know what they're doing. A lot of respect for the brewers at Anchor, and want to give them a shout-out. And they do hold this stuff, you know, this Christmas Happy New Year special ale. They do hold the information about it close to the chest, right? So I've searched around, too, and I cannot find much detailed information about it at all, other than it's 5.5%. So,
you know what? Go to their website. It says there's a link you can click on. It says view all 41 years of Anchor Christmas Ale labels. That's all you need to know. You don't need to know their secrets. Yeah. Because you know what? Just buy their beer every year. You know, I buy our beer, most of our beer for the show at Merchants Fine Wine in Dearborn, Michigan. And Chris Cook is the manager there. He's very kind to me. And I remember going and telling him we were going to do an episode on holiday beers. He goes, you might want to buy the Anchor now because it's probably going to sell out.
It'll sell out, yeah.
So we got some. It's a treat that I've been privileged to have been a purveyor of way back in the day before it was iconic like it is now. And I'm proud to have been involved in selling it over the years. And I'm fortunate to be drinking it right now because it's delicious.
Yeah, good job, Anchor. Love it. Chris, what do you think?
It is good. I'm enjoying this beer. It's another one of those where each sip, it seems to be something different than the sip it was before. I'm catching a lot more. I mean, like, yeah, I'm picking up clove mostly, but I'm getting a little bit of the raisin, or maybe that's plum or whatever, or
dark fruits.
Yeah,
dark
fruit, but at
I'm getting plum. That's a good descriptor, Chris.
Absolutely,
definitely. Chris, I'm proud of you. You're really you're throwing out some terms that are
his
relevant.
His palate's developing. Yes.
So I have a great story about this beer. One time I was helping a friend of mine pack to move, and he lived in his condo. This was in Chicago. He'd lived in his condo for a long time. We're packing some stuff, and he's going through some bottles of wine, and out comes this bottle of Anchor Christmas Ale, and it's from 1998, and this is 2008 that I'm looking at it, and he goes, oh, no, I'm just going to toss this. And I went, no, don't.
What are you doing?
Come on, you man.
That's got to be ruined. Maybe not. There's only one way to find out. And I took it home, and I probably sat on it another 6 months because I was, at that time, kind of, well, it's 10 years on it. You know, end of story. I cracked it open one night. It drank beautifully. It poured beautifully. The spice had sort of just blended into the overall experience. And I think back years ago, they were a little more heavy-handed with the spice. I can remember a lot of clove-forward beers on this particular one. But, man, after 10 years, it still held up great. It was still drinking great.
10 years. Holy smokes. 10
years.
How great would it be to have one of all 41 years? You couldn't do a vertical. You'd get about 8 in.
That'd be over the course of a couple weeks, you'd hope.
Yeah, you'd have to do like a thimbleful at a time to be able to last over 41 samples. But how cool that they've persevered that long, and in no time it'll be 50 years.
So we're going to kind of shift gears here, and we're going to move to a Belgian. Next thing up on the plate is a St. Bernardus Christmas Ale. Belgian winter beers are often slightly stronger by 1-2% ABV over the brewery's flagship beers.
Here we go.
If there's spice, the spice is usually more subtle than American versions. That goes back once again to the clove, and even back further when we were doing the pumpkin beer episode. Like, you know, less is more when it comes to spice. You know, if you got an amount you're going to use, and if you're brewing with it, I'd say cut it in half, and then just cut it in half one more time, and then use that. So the Belgian winter beers are often named Noel, Christmas, or winter, and can be based on any style. Some are spiced, and orange seems to be a popular flavoring. I like the DuPont avec le bon. Who threw that on me? Avec le bon vous. With the best wishes, I believe that means de Koenig, winter, Koenig, Genlan, Bière, de Noël, St. Bernardus, Christmas, and my personal favorite, de Dole Still Nacht, or Silent Night, Christmas Eve, which is primed with honey before it's bottled, so it does age in the bottle very nicely. They're all completely different beer styles, but all have had special holiday gift themes and that make them both rare and enjoyable. I like how the labels have fun with these beers. A lot of Belgian labels do have fun. Cartoon characters are sort of like risque characters on the bottles. St. Bernardus is, I guess it's sort of like that. I mean, it's a monk, and he's wearing a Santa hat. I mean, monks typically don't wear Santa hats,
no beard.
I don't think. So when I pour this beer, it's a very dark brown.
But it seems thin. It seemed like you had a bubbly head when you poured that one.
Yeah, it was very very bubbly. Yeah, looking at it, still retaining its head great. Got to say this much about the nose on it. First whiff is sort of banana, but also kind of a fruitcake, you know?
Yes.
When you think of that.
Great analogy.
Yes, I like that.
That's what it smells like to me.
It would be fun to make a fruitcake with some of this poured over the top.
So the first sip I get off of this is definitely sort of thick and dark molasses. A lot of sweetness to it. Got a sort of a chewiness to it, and that head still retains on it. Bubbles are very fine.
I'm getting a little licorice out of that. Apricots.
I mean, it's a beautifully complex beer.
It's a quad, right? I believe it's a quad.
That's what I'm guessing. I mean,
it is a Belgian quad.
Admit, I left my phone at home, so I have 10%. No digital access to anything.
We're good.
Other than a microphone and some beers.
It's a 10% ABV Belgian quad. It's good.
I know I'm always the guy that reads everything, but you know what? It's from their website. It's St. Bernardus Christmas Ale is a dark seasonal brewed in the classic quadruple style of Belgian best abbey ales. 10% ABV, similar to all the beers from our brewery, it greets the drinker with a signature aroma of the St. Bernardus house yeast strain in use since 1946. Rivaling the complexity of the St. Bernardus ABT-12, St. Bernardus Christmas Ale offers a spicy, mint-like flavor profile exuding the tastes of warming alcohol, fermented molasses, apricots, licorice, and marzipan that are often highlighted by the perfect balance of brewing sugars. I taste licorice in it. I take the licorice, and then I also taste apricots. Molasses, not so much, but that's in the description, but I'm not getting the molasses. I think it's a little bit lighter than that. But it's got a great mouthfeel. Very highly carbonated and intense mouthfeel. It dances on your tongue. It's got great flavor. It's got great mouthfeel. Anybody else?
What do we have here, Christopher?
Hey guys, did you guys lose me?
No, we're here.
We're here.
There just seemed to be like a 10%.
No, we're just, I just poured it. I'm about to taste it. Oh, whoa. Definitely a little bit more, was it muted? Is that a good description compared to the last couple of ales we've tasted?
You know, we've tasted some hop bombs, or a hop bomb, and then sort of a spice beer.
This is more what, malt?
And then we go to this malty? More quad malt. Any kind of hops that are going to be used in it are going to be
malt,
very
spice,
earthy.
Sweetness. Fruit. Alcohol.
Yeah. Hey, my review on this one is,
I would really basically summarize this by saying probably the best characterization is it's a fruitcake.
Pretty much, I mean, without no sweetness to it.
That a fruitcake would have, and a lot of people view fruitcakes negatively. I love a good fruitcake.
Putting this in the one bottle category, we'd finish the bottle and we'd move on.
I don't know. I like it. Okay, our next beer on tap, we're going to go to our Sam Smith's Winter Welcome Ale. And before I go into this, it was very important that we include an English Winter Warmer, because English Winter Warmers are one of the premier styles that drive holiday beers. English Winter beers are normally called Winter Warmers, and they tend to be dark, full in body, sweet and stronger than average, 5.5 ABV and up. They're rarely spiced, which I find enjoying. I find most English Winter Warmers to be very malty with a full body and sweet finish. Flavors typical of English Christmas puddings are common. Figs, molasses, toffee, caramel, raisins, prunes, dried fruit, and so on. In general, they're not roasty, but feature dark caramel and dark fruit flavors. As the name implies, a winter warmer should have some alcohol warmth. Beers of this profile are sippers. It's hard to drink them quickly. Some of my favorites are Young's Winter Warmer, Harvey's Christmas Ale, Hope Norton 12 Days, and Fuller's Old Winter Ale. So without further ado, Uncle Pete, how about some Sam Smith's Winter Welcome?
Coming right up, JR.
Okay, I'm taking a whiff of this, tasting some caramel, toffee, tasting really malty, or smelling really malty. Yeah, not bad. It's not
That's interesting.
Strong. I expected it to be a lot stronger. It reminds me a little bit of the Great Lakes, only not as sweet. It's more malty. It's a malt-based beer. I get very little dark fruit, but I get a lot of toffee and caramel. This is supposed to be a classic English winter warmer.
I'm getting most of the taste of this beer on, like, the finish.
Fruit flavors, like it's supposed to.
I agree with you there. It's got a big, big fruit flavor to it. I mean, this almost seems to me like the English version of the first one we had, which is IPA. I mean, this strikes me almost as a sort of double IPA, but in an English version. The hops are more subtle, but they're there. I mean, there's definitely some major hops in this beer, but just sort of that earthy kind of British type, possibly Fuggles or East Kent Goldings.
It's Fuggles and Goldings, exactly.
Well, all right then.
Fuggles and Goldings and beers.
Oh my.
I think this is a great beer. I mean, it just, it goes along the lines of, you know, as I said, the first one, it's just a celebration ale. This is a celebration ale. I'm sure that they've changed this recipe over a few times as well. And maybe probably due to what the beer culture is now, possibly change it every year.
You know what I do like about this is, and it's the style. It says that the style doesn't, they are rarely spiced. I think those spices, a lot of American breweries ruin their beers with like too many crappy spices, you know. I mean, let the beer just be beer. It's kind
of
like,
but you know, on the flip side of that, we're just tasting the Anchor Christmas, which that does have spice in it. I mean, that has clove in it every year, but they find a way to do it the right way.
Agreed, and it does, and it also indicates that the American style does use more spices. Maybe I'm just finding I like the non-American style more.
You know, I'm checking out the website. JR, I'm going to steal some thunder. I hope I don't.
Please do.
But this Samuel Smith's from Yorkshire, England, apparently they use a Yorkshire Square fermenting vessel, and it's constructed from sandstone. And it looks almost like an open fermentation type vessel where you have your kind of a yeast head on the top. And what it says here is they continuously pump the wort from the bottom of the chamber over the yeasty head, and they keep it mixed, and so they get a full fermentation. It really mellows out the beer. It gets a full fermentation, so there's no residual sugars. To me, this is a very malty beer, very low in bitterness, very pleasant. Again, kind of a bread in a bottle kind of a thing. I don't get a lot of spices, but I get a very pleasing, satisfaction from it. So, interesting that they use kind of a sandstone vessel where most breweries today use stainless steel.
Chris, anything to add before we go to our next beer?
It's real mellow. Just it, everything seems really.
Background?
What I was going to try to say is it's like attempting to have flavor, but then that sounds derogatory. I just think it's maybe perhaps a characteristic of the style.
Yeah, no fruitcake on this one.
Yeah.
No.
Agreed. All right, if there's no more further ado, I'd like to turn it over to Pete to taste Alaskan Winter.
All right, what do we got here? Alaskan Winter Ale, brewed with spruce tips. If anybody knows about Alaska winter ale, I would think Alaska does. So let's give a pour here, JR, and see what's going on with this one.
I got to give some credit to Chris Cook from Merchants Fine Wine in Dearborn, Michigan, who, when I was shopping for our beers, basically implored me to include this as a kind of a rogue style of Christmas or of holiday beers as a winter ale. And so I hope that we will be thanking him for this. If not, I will be spanking him for this. But
spanky, spanky.
Let's determine.
Okay, so when I look at this, well, let me start with the aroma. Wow. Got a really nice aroma. I don't know. Maybe my olfactory here tonight is bent towards the chocolate for some reason. I mean, this is not a dark beer or black beer at all, but for some reason I get cocoa. I don't know why. Maybe it's my allergies kicking in. I love the aroma. It's got a great clarity. The color is similar to most of the beers we've had here tonight. Boy, and it's really sweet right up front. Very mild, kind of creamy. What is that?
Yeah. It's almost
I think it's spruce tips.
It's spruce tips, but it almost has like a fruit flavor to it. I was thinking blueberry in a way, even though maybe there's not blueberry in it. It's inexplicable.
It is. It's there's some kind of a sweet fruitiness there that's throwing me off. I don't get spruce tips.
No.
Maybe this has been around for a while, this one. I don't know. Any indications on the bottle, JR?
All I can say is I expected spruce tips, and I'm not tasting them.
Exactly, me neither.
Intense. There's a ale brewed with spruce tips is all only thing on the bottle. So I'm going to investigate online.
It
so
tastes like a double blueberry porter, only it's gold.
Right.
It's kind of mind blowing.
I'm throwing way off. I'm confused here.
Chris told us that we would like it, and I just
I dig this beer. I love this beer. I just
spruce.
Wow.
Okay, can I
it's sort of like blueberry pancakes.
Here we go. Here is now I know why I like it so much. Alaskan Brewing Company website. Flavor, brewed in the style of an English old ale. This ale balances the sweet, heady aroma of spruce tips with a clean, crisp finish of noble hops. Its malty richness is complemented by the warming sensation of alcohol. Ingredients. Alaskan Winter is made from glacier-fed water, Sitka spruce tips, and a generous blend of the finest quality European and Pacific Northwest hop varieties and specialty malts. Our water originates in the 1,500-square-mile Juneau ice field and from the more than 90 inches of rainfall received each year. Original gravity, 1.066, ABV, 6.4, bitterness, 22 IBUs, color, 13 SRM. Wow.
It's interesting.
I don't know how they made this happen, but you know what? It's an old ale. It's an old ale.
It's got a real smoothness to it that I expect or spruce piney kind of a thing, but
you know what? It's an old ale. I'm going to guess that they age this before they release it.
It starts sweet and ends bitter.
Ale and release it young,
but not real bitter.
Yeah, but still, it ends more bitter than it started.
But there's so much sweetness in it. That's from almost to the point where I think it's a fruit beer, and it's not.
I knew there was a reason I liked it. You guys know I love old ales, and I didn't know it was an old ale. Wow, it's an old ale. It's an English old ale, traditionally malty with the warming sensation of alcohol. Old ales are brewed in the fall as winter warms.
Well, maybe they just didn't overload it with the spruce tips. You know, it's intended to be kind of a mild something you pick out in the back.
Well, I would also think that maybe when it was first bottled, the spruce tips were like blowing you away, and now they're just like backgrounders.
Could be.
There's really
and the other point of view is that, you know, I've had quite a few spruce tip beers, and those are usually heavily bombed with hops. So you're getting the spruce and the hops, and it sort of becomes like you're chewing on a Christmas tree. Maybe that's not the effect they're going for here with the spruce. They're using more earthy hops, much lower ABV, IBUs.
And if you'd like more information on old ales, episode 10 of the Beer Nuts Podcast on iTunes and ChristopherMedia.net.
Well, they're doing good stuff up there in Alaska with this beer. I mean, I like it. JR, we talked about old ales in a previous episode. It may not be boldly sprucey, but with the noble hops, I think that it balanced out real nice. I would drink a few and love it.
Yeah, and again, thank you to Chris Cook from Merchants Fine Wine for recommending this to the show. Because when I'm out there shopping, I tell him our categories. He's like, oh, you got to go for this. And he picked this one for us. And
sweet.
I actually invited him on the show tonight, but he was unable to Skype in. But we will have him on a future episode.
We'll get him another time.
Yep, so that's awesome. I think that completes our rotation, although it's time for homebrew time, right?
Oh, let's do some homebrew.
Let's do it. I've been excited about this all night.
Without further ado, Uncle Pete
finally
has some real treasures for us. I mean,
gents, I hope you like them. I've been waiting to pop the tops on these for a few weeks now. I bottled this Robert de Habanero Stout on November 22nd. So here we are about 3 weeks later, and for the last two or three days, I've been tasting a few of these, and they're actually bottle conditioned and carbonated in the bottle. They're starting to come together very nice. And the Robert de Habanero Stout is basically a chocolate, vanilla, and habanero base stout, a sweet stout that I used lactose in to make a milk stout out of it, so it's sweet. Lactose is a non-fermentable sugar. I just today went across town and entered all three variations of this stout into a homebrew competition, which I'm hoping I get. If nothing else, I would like to get some good info back from the judges so I can learn and improve as time goes on. So a prize, a win would be good, but I'm happy to learn and just take the feedback. So what we have in the holiday ales category tonight is my cinnamon variant of Robert the Habanero Stout. This has a cinnamon tincture that I made myself. I took a cinnamon stick, a real cinnamon stick, a cinnamon bark, and I soaked it in nothing other than Captain Morgan rum for about 3 months. So this cinnamon stick...
Only three?
This cinnamon stick sat happily in a bottle of Captain Morgan for 3 months, and then when I put this stout in a secondary fermentation tank, I took a grater and I grated the cinnamon stick into the secondary, okay? So it took a while for the flavors to come together. I'm gonna tell you that this has chocolate cocoa nibs as well as vanilla bean and roasted jalapeno, habanero peppers. I don't think you're going to get a lot of heat off of this one from the habanero. You might get it at the back end, but up front, you're going to get cinnamon aroma with some vanilla. I think in the flavor, you're going to get chocolate and cinnamon and a roasted malt, and then you're going to get a little tiny bit of warmth. So I'm going to let it go at that, and then you guys tell me if it's hitting on those cylinders or not. So who would love to take a chance at giving me some aroma and color and tasting notes?
Well, I'd love to jump in here, Uncle Pete.
Go for it. Yeah.
Right off the top, I get some sort of cocoa chocolate aroma, kind of a sweet maltiness. Appearance of it is dark as night. There is no way you can even see through this beer. And I've held it right up against two computer monitors. Nothing. It's dark. Great head, great retention on it. It seems to be carbonated perfectly. As far as the mouthfeel on this, I get just sort of a nice, thick, chewy beer. Definitely what you want to drink in the winter as a stout. One more sip. I'm going to get into the flavor profile here. So, yeah, right up on the top, I'm getting nice, big, bold sweetness, chocolate, cinnamon, almost coffee. The vanilla in it is subtle, which I prefer in any kind of a beer that does have vanilla. I really get some sort of like dark cherries in this. I wouldn't go as far as like dark plums. I mean, it just seems a little bit, I guess a little brighter on the dark fruit spectrum of it. There's just a touch of heat, touch of heat, just kind of nice at the end on the finish. And I mean, this is just outstanding. This amazing beer, Uncle Pete. Well done.
I'm taking a bow. Thank you, sir. I respect your feedback immensely. So thank you so much.
Got to back you up on that. And I mean, there's the mouth feels perfect. The carbon, yeah. Uncle Pete was a little worried about the carbonation. Maybe it wasn't ready yet. It's ready, man. It's mouth feels right there, solid. It's not too sweet. If there would be any criticism of it, it would be probably that it's just too hot. Because it's fresh and new, it needs maybe some of that little Captain Morgan and cinnamon to fade a little bit. But that being said, if you taste this a month or 2 months down the road, you might miss some of those nuances. So, hey, we're talking a holiday beer episode, and this got cinnamon and it is lively. The mouthfeel is perfect. Dark fruits all over the place. It's pretty much everything you could ever ask for in a holiday beer. And I would put it up almost against anything I've tasted tonight. So, Uncle Pete, thank you for the home run.
Yeah, that's what I would, JR. I mean, just up against any of the ones we've had tonight. And definitely as a holiday beer. And how can you go wrong? I mean, you call a beer a holiday beer, it's a holiday beer, right?
But absolutely.
When you pack it up against some of the stuff we've had tonight, it's right up there with it.
Thank you, gentlemen. I respect your feedback immensely. So much. Thank you.
Is it time to call it a night, guys?
Did Chris have any feedback? Or is he there?
Yeah, Chris.
Well, no, I'm here. I'm getting the habanero, the hint of habanero on the finish. Getting the cinnamon at the front, but no, I'm with the rest of these gentlemen. This is plus two. You know, the dark beers are closer to my heart, and This is a good beer, Uncle Pete.
Thank you so much. I can tell you just a couple of tidbits. This had a 20-pound grain bill in a 5-gallon batch, okay? So it's going to really knock it up to, like Doug said, you can't see through this beer, okay? I mean, it's got chocolate malt. It's got dark roasted malts in there. I used Warrior and Centennial hops, both in the boil and for the aroma. Yeah, I did put lactose in this beer to try to sweeten it up a little bit with some unfermentable sugar. So it came out at 7.6% alcohol by volume and 80 IBUs. The bitterness, you might get some dryness at the end with the 80 IBUs. I mean, this is a recipe calculated number, so maybe it's off a little bit. I don't know.
But yeah, Uncle Pete, what I would suggest to you is to like rebrand this beer as like a cinnamon roll or a some kind of other name. I mean, there's a lot going on here to just call it like cinnamon roll.
Yeah. Well, you got to have the chocolate in there because the chocolate is in there. It's chocolate, cinnamon, and they're both sort of swirled together in a great way where neither of them come out on top, but you know they're both in there.
I thought that the cinnamon personally was a little overbearing. Next time I might use a little less. And it's not a sweet cinnamon. It's more of a bitter cinnamon, so it has a drying effect at the end, so it kind of adds to the bitterness on top of the hops. I'm not displeased, and I'm glad none of you guys are. It sounds very affirmative what you're telling me.
I wouldn't change a thing.
And
I wouldn't change a thing. I would only call on the name different, really like cinnamon roll or maybe cinnamon French toast.
Sure.
I would say cinnamon French toast would be that's what I get out of this. There's some breadiness. And so I would call it Uncle Pete cinnamon French toast.
Well, I did enter this in a contest that's going to be judged on Thursday. And by the time the listeners hear this, of course, that'll be passed. But
and you'll have won. And they'll be parading you down Woodward Avenue in Detroit.
On your shoulders, gentlemen, on your shoulders. I would have no one else help me.
My shoulder is available. If you win, we will do that.
But I want to call out Scrooge at Barley's. It's a homebrew shop in South Lyon, Michigan, where I turned in the beers today. And they're hosting the tasting and the judging at Witch's Hat in South Lyon, which is a great brewery. They have a number of variants of stouts there that I think this would fit in well with. You know, like I said, if I don't win a prize, no big deal. I'm looking forward to the judging feedback so I can learn and improve as we go. So that's part of the big deal about being a home brewer. You just want to keep hearing from guys like you and let's get better. So
well, if they're smart, they would judge us the winner and then determine that this beer should probably be bourbon barrel aged.
It's begging for barrel.
It's begging for it, man.
Definitely. Thank you. I agree so much.
Guys, we had a question on Twitter over the last week here, and it is from, his name is Nate O'Brien, at Brian Nate on Twitter, B-R-I-E-N, Nate on Twitter. He is from a town called Eloy, Arizona. So it's halfway between Arizona and, halfway between Phoenix and Tucson. And he asked us, hey guys, do you know a good oatmeal beer that doesn't have much of a yeast accent?
Like an oatmeal stout?
Sam Smith's oatmeal stout?
But he's a younger beer, not according to Twitter. He's just recently passed the drinking age.
What was the question again?
An oatmeal stout that doesn't have much of a yeast accent.
I would absolutely agree with Samuel Smith's Oatmeal Stout, which used to be my favorite beer in the world until I discovered Backwoods Bastard. So I would recommend
if
Samuel
he can
Smith's
get Founders,
Oatmeal Stout.
I mean, I would highly recommend that he
that's
do
not yeasty.
Search out some breakfast stout. I mean, that's not yeasty.
Yeah, Founders Breakfast Stout.
That's chocolate. Another option.
Are they across the country now? Or
Yeah, they're
I'm not sure if they're in Arizona. They just went to Nevada this week. So I don't know if they're in Arizona, but I know Samuel Smith has to be there.
All right. Well, here's what I got.
Nate, hopefully we helped you out.
All right, Dugout, we're waiting for you.
All right, we got the chocolate vanilla, and that's the final.
What is it?
It's the basic Robert de Habanero stout, chocolate vanilla habanero.
Oh, good Lord.
Dugout says,
Now, I will warn you guys, this is, in my view, and a couple others that have tasted it, and this is the fourth year we've done it in a row, I would say this is the flagship of the Robert de Habanero right here.
Can we get that on tape?
I think we just did.
JR, do you have a glass? I need to pour you up here.
You betcha. For that?
I'm going to give props to Mr. Robillard, my niece's husband, Mr. Mike Robillard. He is the guy that came up with this particular idea to go for this mix on this beer. And a few years back, him and I were brewing on his porch in February in the freezing cold, icy snow and, you know, 0 degrees.
As you do here.
Yes.
It happens. Michigan, I've heard.
When we, that first year we hit this beer, it was a winner, and we've been making it once a year ever since. And so this is a chocolate vanilla habanero stout. I think you'll get a little more heat on this than you did from the cinnamon. So, gentlemen, try it out. Give it a smell. Much more sweetness.
Yeah, a lot more heat.
Wow, vanilla bomb.
Heat, a lot more
the heat.
Heat
is there, but not.
I'm tasting vanilla.
It's smooth.
Not crazy heat. Warm. I mean, it's just good heat, a tingle.
We were very careful not to heat it up too hot because we wanted to make sure we could carry, you know, most of the tasters with us.
Unlike me, right?
You and JR, you guys love it hot.
We burned our faces off on that beer, right?
Time is punishment.
Amen. Can I leave this off?
Sure.
I'm tasting a significant amount of vanilla, which I'm enthused about. Yeah, lots of chocolate, but lots of vanilla too. This is the mouthfeel is perfect for the style. It's you can't see through this. It's coal black. This is
oh wow.
Possibly the best beer I've had tonight. Probably sweet. The best beer I've had.
Possibly.
Possibly.
It's right up your alley. You know, it's right in your wheelhouse, JR.
It is my wheelhouse.
This is another.
What I really love about it is, I mean, the vanilla is all over this. I mean, I love vanilla. I love malt.
And Uncle Pete, you use
chocolate malt vanilla. Go ahead.
Uncle Pete, you used real vanilla beans in this, correct?
I did. I made my own tincture. I open the beans. I scrape out the insides and dice up the bean skins, soak them in a nice vodka for a couple of weeks, and then the tincture I take and I add a certain amount to my batch just to give it that flavor. So,
I mean, that's passion for your craft right there. And if you put that amount of crap or passion into anything you do, whether it's cooking or brewing beer, you're going to come out with a superior product. I think in just one simple ingredient, I know we mentioned clove earlier, but vanilla is a common ingredient used in a lot of beers, but if you don't do it right, it's not going to do the beer any justice. I think a lot of brewers maybe for cost reasons or labor reasons might want to put in a vanilla extract. And
no way.
A lot of times it just leads to an artificial vanilla flavor. What my point is in this is that the vanilla is, man, I feel like I'm sucking on a vanilla bean. It is so.
It's not a fake vanilla flavor.
Not at all.
So
guys,
nice tasting. Strongly,
and I'd like to interject and say that I was shopping for coffee yesterday and Meijer, the chain store that I get my groceries from, and I went and I must have checked 6, 7, 8 different coffees, and they all had artificially flavored vanilla coffee, and I'm like, I'm not buying no goddamn artificially flavored crap. And I just bought like some, like, you know, I didn't even get a vanilla flavor. I was pissed. You cannot get a natural vanilla flavored coffee at a chain store here. Probably at like a specialty store, and that's what I'm going to hold out for. But you know what? This is not that. This certainly is a vanilla bean. And you know what? The first thing I tasted when I tasted this beer was vanilla, natural vanilla from a bean.
Certainly,
That's why this is the bomb to me. This is I'm really excited to share this with me tonight, and I'm enjoying it immensely.
I'm in awe, gents. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, I'm going to calm down. I know.
Yeah, JR, you're a little wound up there.
This bottle will be empty in the next 2 seconds.
I was looking at all these coffees, and they're all artificially flavored. I couldn't find one.
No more coffee beers for you. Oh, wait, we didn't have any coffee beers tonight.
It just said natural flavoring. I'd have bought it.
One of my next, I tell you, coffee is going to be one of the next variants that I do. Certainly, I'm not going to go for any, you know, fake coffee extracts.
And in fact, I'll be honest, I never wanted to use any imitation extracts in my brews. And so that's why I ground the cocoa nibs myself. I peeled the vanilla beans myself. The habaneros, I roasted in the toaster oven myself. You know, nothing here is secondhand. It's all
so
fresh.
Is this beer in the contest too?
It is.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, yeah, nobody else.
You might get a phone call, Pete.
If you don't win, it's a fix.
That's all right. I'm looking for the feedback, and I did enter it in the spice beer category under, you know, spice, vegetable, beer, fruit.
And if he wins, we're all going there. We're going to be rocking
this. Let me just put a teaser out there for you.
We'll record a podcast from there.
Uber, if you're out there, we need a sponsorship, and that's all we ask for is give us a ride from that thing.
Hey, I travel for a living and collect miles and hotel points and things, so it's not out of the realm of possibility. If Pete,
you know what? If Uncle Pete wins that thing, we're going out.
Yeah. Well, here's the teaser, guys.
We're going to go out and protest. So
let me plant this seed.
We might go to Canada.
Here's the teaser on the grand prize winner. Right, the best in show for this particular contest. The grand prize is that the brewery, Witch's Hat, will take my recipe and brew it up in quantity and serve it on their taps at their brewery for 30 days. So if that happens...
Does that mean Uncle Pete gets a piece of each glass that's sold?
No. I would just be happy to drink for free for 30 days.
No, I mean... No, I mean, do they get... Do they give you, like, you know...
No.
You just have the privilege.
A little kickback.
I'm sure they'll give them an extra...
beyond compare. I will be just so honored.
Does he get, like, you know, 75 cents of each glass sold? That's what my...
It's the recognition, man. It's not
okay,
about
so they do the band promoter thing with them. Hey, the exposure is...
All of you guys here tonight, all of you guys, we will all be there in force... If that happens, and
we all have cabanas at the side of the toilet,
we'll do a goddamn live podcast from there.
In South Lyon, rock and roll.
Live podcast from there. That's a deal.
You're humbling me tonight, so thank you for all the kind words and the feedback. It's very much appreciated.
No, Uncle Pete, this is
all right, gentlemen. I think it's that time of the night where we have to get our beer of the week, holiday brew. I have a little format tonight that things are going to be different tonight. But before we get too different, let's just go for the beer of the week.
All right,
Chris, you first. Beer of the week. Anything we've tasted tonight?
Okay. I got to pick one. The Robert De Habanero milk stout, the chocolate vanilla habanero.
Love it. Thank you. All
right. Dugout.
Same. No. Yeah, there's no stopping. I mean, we had some
great
beers here.
Easily the best beer I have put in my face tonight.
Fresh ingredients, blood, sweat, and tears. I mean, yeah, this beer is awesome.
Thank you, gentlemen. Well, I can't agree more. I would love to vote for myself, but I'm a little more humble than that. So, I've lived in California for many years, and I love Sierra Nevada, so I'm going to go with the celebration because it's so good. You know, I'm not going to put more, you know, focus on myself. I really want to give props to a brewery that's been around for almost 120 years, and the Celebration Ale with their secret ingredients and all of that. I was very pleased to drink that tonight, so I'm going to give it up to Sierra Nevada Celebration.
All right. Well, I don't even know why I'm voting because it's Uncle Pete's beer. So, Uncle Pete, you have the beer of the week is Uncle Pete's.
As you should. I mean, this was the best thing I drank all night.
It really is.
Saved the best for the last.
Being a homie, it really is the best thing I tasted tonight.
If anybody out there in the listening world is on Untappd, you can find it under Uncle Pete's Home Brewery called Robert De Habanero.
It's a shame you didn't pick your own because you should have been unanimous. With that being said, okay, we're going to move to the next segment of the show, Holiday Brewery of the Week. And we're going to do things a little different because it's the last show of the year. Each beer net is going to select a brewery that they have not yet visited but that is on their bucket list. And we want a Holiday Brewery of the Week. So, Uncle Pete,
you go first. Oh, man, thanks, jeez. Oh, wow.
A brewery that you have not yet visited that is on your bucket list.
But it has a holiday beer? Is that the requirement?
Yeah, kind of.
And we drank it tonight?
Doesn't that, no, it does not.
Could it be Uncle Pete's Brewery?
You know what? Okay, let me clarify.
Yeah, revise these rules or clarify them, please.
Throw out the holiday beer category and just any beer brewery that you have never visited that you want to go to.
Oh,
it does not have to be a holiday beer. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Now I'm good. Okay, so that really opened it up for me.
Just we're going to do two of these tonight, and it's going to be Santa Claus time. And you're going to ask Santa Claus, if I could go to one brewery, what would it be?
I love it. Okay. Well, then it makes it easier. So I'm going to go for Stone, okay? And I've had a number of Stone beers, and we've talked about a number of Stone beers in many of our episodes. And, you know, I've always had this bucket list of going down the West Coast to, from the top to the bottom and hitting all the breweries. So Stone is definitely on the bucket list. And, in fact, and let me just put it this way. I'll put a spin for the Christmas thing here. If I could put Zocca Vesa as a Christmas ale, you know, basically a holiday ale, because it's a spiced beer, it's a spiced stout that has numerous, you know, goodies in it with chocolate and nutmeg and cinnamon and all that good stuff. We didn't even talk about Zocca Vesa tonight, and that would be a good one for this episode. But
don't we talk about that in the future?
We might. You know, it's definitely a candidate, but that's I'm going to go with Stone, and I think some of you guys might agree, but that's going to be my vote.
Okay, Chris, I'd like you to go next.
Oh,
bucket list brewery has nothing.
Bucket list brewery for right now.
If you had like a a month to live and you could go to any brewery in the world, free, all expenses paid, what would it be?
Now I feel like I'm shorting myself because it's in the state I live in, but just for it right now in this point in the craft beer world where I'm at, Founders. I want to see how everything is made, like how long it takes, the ingredients they use, if they go to any extra steps. Because every beer I've had from them, whether I've liked it or thought it was okay, like the worst I've thought of any Founders beer is it's okay. I want to see how they do it, what they do, if it's because it just seems like a little extra is put into every batch of Founders anything.
Okay. Dugout.
I think I'm going to go with Brew Dogs.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
I mean, those guys are cool.
Yeah. And
if you haven't seen their TV shows where they, I mean, I saw a TV show where they're brewing on a roof with wind power.
That was at Anchor.
Brewed this incredible beer sitting on a roof. What an innovation. I mean, and every bottle that I've ever had from Brew Dogs been off the charts good. I mean, it is off the charts expensive for us to buy it here. And then you always worry about how long it's been sitting in someone's shop. But for the most part, I mean, every beer I've had from them has been great. But it's just their innovation and their thought process is slightly twisted. And I like that. That's art. That's art and brewing. That's my brewery.
Great show, man. I like that. Good call, Dugout.
So is that it? Everyone's given their brewery?
No, I haven't. I'm speechless. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. It's agonizing for me. But I have to go back to my roots. What kind of beers that I enjoy the most? It's going to have to be something in Scotland. It's just going to have to be something in Scotland. Because I love the British Isles. I love the beer styles from the British Isles. So, where do I go from here?
Scotland, apparently.
Scotland.
So, where do I go from here?
Good calls, everybody. I mean, good choices.
Would your plane ticket to Scotland, JR?
I would love it if we could all just go to Founders together and take Chris, you know, because I think the rest of us have been there, and we got to take him to the mecca of Michigan craft beer, and that would be Founders.
It would be.
It's an experience. You would love it, Chris. You would love it.
Oh, is it in Grand Rapids or a suburb of Grand Rapids?
No, it's right plunked down right in the middle of downtown Grand Rapids.
It's right there, man.
When did they build it? Because
over a course of many, many years.
And they're expanding still.
I lived in West Michigan from like 99 to 02. Even if you could maybe even like maybe extend it to like 97 to 02.
But at that time.
From like 97 to 99, it was on and off.
At that time, they didn't have a tap room. They just brewed only, brewed and bottled only. I remember driving around there like with some GPS system in early 2000s and looking for Founders, and we found it, but it was just. It was just the brewery, and it was just operation. They had no tap room. And now it's like mammoth. I mean, I don't know how many people that tap room sees, but it's a lot. Everything is good on tap there.
Well, everything is good on tap in general.
Okay, guys, you're probably still waiting for my answer.
Oh, yes, yes.
And you know what it's going to be? It's going to be the Carbon Smith Brewing Company in Edinburgh, Scotland. It's a tiny Edinburgh craft nano brewery.
Meaning what? They make two cases a year or
5 gallons at a time?
This is my smart-ass question after two podcasts.
Of it means that I just selected a beer in the area of the world that brews the styles that I enjoy the most. And I pretty much just arbitrarily selected them off the internet. So I'm not going to lie.
So you don't even know if you like anything they've made?
Edinburgh. I've been in Edinburgh once in my life. It was the best beer trip of my life. I have selected them as my beer, my brewery, my bucket list. A small brewery that, let's read our beers. Carbon Copy Pale. You guys don't want to hear this. It's 3.8% Token Pale Ale. Okay. Carbon 12, 6.5% IBA. Carbon 12 is designed to be a robust 6.5% IBA. Graphene Porter, 4.9% Porter. I just basically randomly selected. I mean, this is what we can do with craft beer. Carbon Smith. Challenge me. I'll be there in the next year. Challenge me.
Oh, is that a challenge? We will have audio proof of this.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Because I could have selected St. Andrew's Brewing. How boring would that be?
I don't know.
If I said I played St. Andrew's golf course in Scotland,
the golf course was pretty epic. Yeah.
One of my selections is craft beer is where it's at. I wanted to select a small upland brewery from a faraway land that I love their beer style. That's pretty much what I did.
All right. Hey, I got a question.
Yeah.
Is anybody getting a beer glass tonight?
I hope so.
So you know, what do you got to do to get that sucker?
Tweet out to @BeerNutsPodcast.
You should give one to that guy from Arizona and give him a response.
There you go.
You know, there are a couple of oatmeal stouts from the breweries in Arizona. I don't have it up anymore on the screen here, but I did search for oatmeal stouts in Arizona, and there's a number of breweries in Arizona that help oatmeal stouts. You know, tell them to search local, you know, and check it out.
Yeah, well, that's what you guys always preach too, right? Drink local.
Drink local.
Of course, the Samuel Smiths is a winner, of course.
Right? Yep. All right. Well, on that note, we are going to start. We're going to wrap things up here. Thank you, everybody who has followed @BeerNutsPodcast on Twitter. You know, we are humbled. We started out with what, 2 followers, and now we're over 2,000. And it's,
oh man, that's awesome.
And it's been in a few weeks, so it's you're just proving that the craft beer community they're out there. They're mobile. They're on social media. Share it, like it. Tell a friend about still old school telling somebody about it with your mouth and your words. That still works with things too. That's still the best form of advertising. We're on Facebook. We are on Twitter. And you know what? I'm thinking we're probably gonna have to do Instagram, guys.
Hey, Chris, you know what I'm thinking?
What's that?
It's Christmas. We need to give away some fucking glasses. We're allowed to say fucking because it's a podcast.
Yep. No FCC involved.
So let's take the first 4 tweets to @BeerNutsPodcast.
Just tweet what you're drinking. Just show us what you're drinking.
What you're drinking and ask for a glass.
Or better yet, show us what you're fucking drinking.
And we need pictures.
Yeah, there you go.
We're almost ready to order another batch of glasses, so let's drain us out, guys. Come on.
Pictures
are great. Send us a podcast. We're going to send glasses out to anybody that sends it out until we run out. We got about 7 or 8 left.
Well, there we go.
So, you know what? We're on it. And we're
nice
all in.
Glasses.
Let's just blow it out.
Christopher drinks out of his every week.
This holiday winter warmer show. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Beer Nuts Podcast. Win this glass with your favorite beer that you're drinking, and we will send you that glass.
And send a picture.
Yeah. Send a picture, and then you're going to have to private message me your address, And until they're gone, it's open game.
There we go, guys.
Let us be your Santa.
Yes, sir. Well, JR, I believe you have the sign-off, sir.
As we say in old Mexico City, AMF.
If you enjoy this show and want more people to know about it, head on over to iTunes, leave a comment, and rate it 5 stars. Make sure you like and share us on Facebook, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Just search for Christopher Media. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. Most importantly, we would like to take the time to extend an extra special thanks to you. Christopher Media could not exist without your support. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net, and thank you for listening. Christopher Media. Let's make some noise. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.